afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Current Word here on WSHO in New Orleans, Louisiana. My name is Kathleen Benfield, and for the next hour, we'll be discussing current events from a Christian point of view. Today is December the 3rd, 2013. It's Tuesday, and a couple of things I definitely want to talk to you about. I really am enjoying that show that comes on now before hours, the Fishing Report, the Outdoor Report, and really nice guys, and we're glad to have them in the WSHO family. You know, I went crabbing and shrimping this weekend, Mr. Board Operator. Yes, I did. I went crabbing and shrimping, and that was at the Chinese buffet on Clear. I did catch a few. Right?
I thought you meant you were acting like a crab.
That too. Well, just ask the family members, and you can find out a lot about that. But yeah, that's the closest I get to actually going out and catching any food. But yeah. So anyway, some great stuff they talked about, and it does seem kind of interesting. But I like the outdoors, but I'm not too much on, you know, with the rod and reel. I don't think I'd do too good with that.
What about the logistics, Czar? Is he a fisher?
He actually is not. No, he's not too much into that. He has been fishing before, but he's not too much into that. Yep. Now, the canine patrol, our canine corps, they would definitely be into hunting. They love to hunt, especially squirrels. They like to hunt squirrels, but. All right, then. I've been extremely busy today. I was in Baton Rouge earlier today for a commission meeting on human trafficking. And now our friend Cindy Collins is actually a member, is on the panel of this legislative human trafficking commission. She's not a legislator, but she was appointed or designated for that position by Senator A.G. Crow. And so today I got to see our friend Cindy sitting up there as a in the seats where the legislators normally sit, and it was just really neat. But there was a lot of great stuff that they talked about at this commission meeting today. Actually, the stuff wasn't great, but it was really good that the information that they were bringing forward, and they had experts on a bunch of different topics. But it's amazing that this issue of sex trafficking and human trafficking is so prevalent that just recently, there have been three cases in the Shreveport-Bossier City area of children and adults being trafficked. Sometimes children are trafficked by their own parents and sold into sex slavery. So it's really, really sad. And we heard testimony today from a place in New Orleans called Eden House. And this is a house, a ministry, so to speak, here in the city of New Orleans, so that women who have been trafficked, who have been involved in prostitution against their will, they can go there, and for an 18-month or two-year period, they get to, number one, be treated for the drugs and alcohol that most people that are trafficked or that are working in the sex industry are involved in. It goes hand in hand. They help them to get off of these drugs and the drugs and alcohol. They help them to restore their lives. One of the things that the lady who runs that Eden House was saying is that the age at which a young person is trafficked, let's say that a person is trafficked at the age of 14 or 15 and forced into prostitution, their maturity, their personal development stops at that point. So if a woman has been involved in this, say, for 10 years, she may be 24 years old, but her emotional and mental maturity is still back at the age of 14. So they've got to get these women integrated into society, you know, get them up to their age maturity, help them to understand about how to have an identity, you know, get a Social Security card, a driver's license, all of these things, because they simply don't. And some of these women do have children, but they're not able to care for their children because of the problems, the drug, the alcohol, the sex trafficking. And so what these ministries do is they help the women to get whole, to be restored, so that they then can go back out into society and take care of their children. It's a really, really important ministry that people are doing, and it's going on all around us. We just don't see it. And they're trying to help train people and law enforcement and judges and everything to be able to recognize the people that are potentially being trafficked. So good things are coming out of this in that we're looking for ways around the state to educate the public, to educate law enforcement, to educate first responders, people that work in hospitals, to be on the lookout for victims who are potentially being trafficked, and then to help those people to get out of that situation and to get help. And I'm really glad that I was able to go to the meeting today and to hear about all of that. We'll be doing more about that issue, and for me, part of it is the connection between human trafficking, abortion, and pornography in the sex industry. And this is the way that it goes. You have pornography and the sex industry, which drive the demand for sex trafficking, which drives the demand for abortion. Because women who are being trafficked, women who are working in the sex industry, do become pregnant, and they then need abortion in order to be able to, the pimps and the traffickers don't want them to be pregnant, so they're forced into abortion as well. In fact, I received a tweet from Life Dynamics, which is a ministry in Texas that is a pro-life ministry in Texas. And it's kind of interesting they got this today, because the tweet was, "Abortion is a safety net for sexually predatory and sexually irresponsible men." And it is. We've seen time and time again where young girls are going into abortion facilities because they have become pregnant as a result of statutory rape or sex trafficking or all these other horrible things. So abortion is the way that that a girl or woman can continue to be trafficked even if she becomes pregnant, because they can do away with the pregnancy. So lots of things to think about there, and things that we don't normally think about. All right, we're going to have a special guest at about 4:20, and I'll explain about that in a little while. But I wanted to share something else with you, some fantastic, really fantastic news. Yesterday, I had mentioned to you that we had found out who the general contractor was going to be for the new facility at 4636 South Claiborne Avenue for Planned Parenthood. And just before the show today, I received a call saying that the company who had been identified as the contractor will not be involved in the project. So that is a fantastic piece of information. And basically, once they found out what was they would be involved in, they decided that it wasn't a good thing and that they needed to do something different. So that is great, great news. And we're really, really positive, very positive news. So we just had to keep on top of this situation. We're looking into all of the different aspects of what's going on there at 4636 South Claiborne Avenue. And that is the new Planned Parenthood facility. It is originally said it was going to be 7,000 square feet. Now it's going to be 8,000 square feet. The building itself will be over $4 million. They've paid it's over $1 million for the property. Now they have nearly a whole square block on South Claiborne going back to Willow Street, then Upper Line Street, and then almost taking up the whole square block there at 4636 South Claiborne Avenue. So they've applied to subdivide that property, and that's still outstanding, but we're looking into that. So there's a lot of different aspects about it, and the biggest thing is that Planned Parenthood has said that they will do abortions there at 4636 South Claiborne. And we don't need any more abortion in New Orleans. We don't need more abortion in Louisiana. We do not need Planned Parenthood in Louisiana. The services that they offer are freely available at multitudes of other places. And so I don't understand why Planned Parenthood is necessary. And this is another thing, if everyone's going to have Obamacare, if everyone's going to have health insurance, then why do we need Planned Parenthood? Why do we need their services? I mean, then you can just go to any doctor you want and get whatever service you want. So why is the president and everybody else pushing Planned Parenthood and trying to make us all pay for their services when those services are available at other places and they should be available? So anyway, that's great, great news. We praise God for all of that. And we're just grateful that God is moving in this situation and is making people aware of.
Somebody heard this show and it got wind to them and then they changed their mind.
I think there's probably other people that, no, I don't think it had to do with the show yesterday, but I think there have been people that have been trying to reach out to these different companies and let them know just exactly what the nature of the business is and see if that's something they might not want to be involved in. All right, let's see what else we got. Great article by our friend Sarah Jones Zagorski today. It was published by Louisiana Right to Life, but it has also been published on some other sites, including the Hayride and others, and I'll post a link to that later. But Sarah is a longtime pro-lifer. In fact, her mom is Bobby Jones, and then Sarah now is a wonderful, beautiful young woman who is a leader in the pro-life movement and who just basically came up was born and raised into the pro-life movement. But anyway, Sarah is now a beautiful young woman and writer and leader on her own. She works for Louisiana Right to Life. Well, anyway, Sarah wrote a great article about this new bill that is being encouraged and sponsored by Lindsey Graham, who, you know, we're not big fans of Lindsey Graham, but he did sponsor a bill called the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. And this was introduced in the United States Senate on November 7th. And what Sarah writes about in this article is what is going to be Senator Mary Landrieu's response to this bill? Is she going to write about it? Is she going to vote for it? Is she going to stand with us? Now, according to the Baton Rouge Morning Advocate, a month ago, on November 8th, Louisiana Right to Life had press conferences around the state at Mary Landrieu's different offices asking her to support this pain-capable bill, which would ban abortions after 20 weeks of gestation. And Senator Mary Landrieu had this response. She actually put out a press release, which I greatly congratulate Louisiana Right to Life in that they kind of were the impetus behind her putting out. She felt like she had to respond, and this was her response. Life is precious, and I believe a gift from God, but every birth involves at least two lives, the life of the unborn child and the life of the mother. I want to support a bill that protects and values both. I will review Senator Graham's legislation and continue to be open to views of constituents and medical experts to see if this bill or something similar could achieve both of these goals. Now, we talked about this at the time, and we talked about the life of the mother and, you know, all of that. So I'm not going to go all over that again. But anyway, Sarah's article was it's written from the perspective of if I could talk to Senator Landrieu, what would our conversation be? And she said, to clear things up, it would be helpful if I could sit down with Senator Landrieu to discuss this legislation. And so Sarah says a couple of different if I could statements. And she says, if I could, I would ask her, Senator Landrieu, does it not concern you that when a woman goes in for an abortion at 20 weeks, her baby already has fingernails, can swallow, and can feel pain? Sarah says. She also says, if I could, I would ask her if you believe that all life, born and unborn, is a gift from God, why are you hesitant to co-sponsor a bill that would protect babies from the grim reality of late abortion? If I could, I would remind her that the majority of Americans support legislation that protects babies in the last 4 months of pregnancy. But most of all, if I could, I would like to meet with Senator Landrieu because she needs to be reminded that many of the babies in question here can even live outside the womb. I should know, Sarah says. I was one of them. And Sarah is her mother, her birth mother, actually intended to have an abortion. So, and she was then eventually adopted. And, you know, they have a wonderful testimony, both Bobby Jones and Sarah, about this. But anyway, So this is a really great article, and I'll post a link to that at our website. I want to remind you again that you can go to afano.org to find out, to look at these different articles that we talk about on the show. And then you can also listen to the show, if you like, previous versions of it, previous days. So, Sarah, this is a great, great article, very well done and very creative on Sarah's part. I encourage you to read it. Someone wrote on our board, Planned Parenthood will profit a great amount from Obamacare, no doubt. Yes, that is true. Planned Parenthood right now gets $1 million a year just from the state of Louisiana for the Medicaid services they provide outside of abortion, not for abortion, but for other services. They get $1 million a year. So we know that President Obama has threatened and has actually gone through with it in some states. When the state says that they will not allow Planned Parenthood to collect Medicaid dollars, President Obama has said, okay, you don't want to give Planned Parenthood Medicaid dollars, then we will cut your funds, your Medicaid funds to your state. So you will have to make up the difference. And in Texas, that's what they did. And I think Governor Perry was able to make it up. Here in Louisiana, the dollar values would be different. So there's a lot of issues related to that. But President Obama is willing to cut off as much as possible Medicaid funding for people, for states that refuse to pay or to allow Planned Parenthood to be a Medicaid provider. So, we know what that's like. But anyway, this is a great article, and I would encourage you to read it. All right. Our number here is 504-527-0800. You can also go to WSHO.com, and you can listen and watch and listen live. And you can also go to our forum at WSHO.com, watch and listen live. You can type comments for me and for other listeners. And, a lot of times we have good debates going on there. So I would encourage you to check it out. And I just wanted to tell you, today I spoke with Miss Bessie. We haven't heard from Miss Bessie in a long time, Mr. Board Operator. And I was really concerned about her. And she's still doing good. She made 90 this weekend. And we're going to get her back listening to the show and get her on the show, calling in again real soon. But we were really glad to hear that Miss Bessie is doing well, just still taking the bus to church and walking blocks and blocks to get to the bus stop at 90 years old, just really dependent on the Lord for her livelihood and her life. And she's a tremendous example. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to bring on a guest, and it's going to be a completely different topic. So we hope you'll stay tuned. We're going to be talking about a little bit about global warming, but also about the end of hurricane season. You know, hurricane season is over now. It just was over on November 30th, I believe, was the last day of hurricane season. I know most people don't think too much about hurricanes in November, but we're going to talk about that a little bit and about hurricane predictions, etc. So I think you'll be interested in this. The number here, 504-527-0800. You're listening to The Current Word, and we'll be right back.
An angel? Wise men, shepherds, and three December Sundays at the Lifegate. Hi, this is Michael Green. Invite you to join me and Linda and the Lifegate family for anointed, festive, heartfelt celebrations all month long at the Lifegate. The first Sunday of the month, that's the first Sunday, the flip schedule. The early service will be in Metairie at 9 o'clock, the later service at 11:30 in Mandeville. Then on December the 8th and the 15th, we begin in the north, 9 o'clock, south at 11:30. I hope you'll join us. The message for 3 weeks, an angel, wise men, and shepherds. That reveals the message, the mind, and the heart of Christmas. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Why don't you celebrate with us? Three Sundays in December, an angel, wise men, and shepherds. For more information, see thelifegate.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, at thelifegate. December at Lifegate is going to be a great time all month long. We hope to see you there. Merry Christmas, y'all.
The Hamilton Jewelry Company is now having our annual fall clearance sale. Right now, save 20 to 50% off all fine jewelry in stock. Just imagine dazzling diamond earrings, necklaces, and bracelets to one of the largest bridal selections in the New Orleans area, all up to 50% off. Now's the time to lay away that perfect gift for that special someone. So come in to see the West Bank's biggest jeweler at 113 LaPalco Boulevard in Gretna, the Hamilton Jewelry Company, your full-service diamond and jewelry specialist for over 30 years.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to The Current Word here on WSHO in New Orleans, Louisiana. Our number here, 504-527-0800. And we're glad that you could be along with us. We're going to shift gears a tiny bit from things that we haven't talked about this topic in quite a while, and I wanted to just do something a little bit different today. We're going to be talking a little bit about global warming, but one of the biggest, the topic that caught my attention was our friends at the National Center for Public Policy Research are calling upon the national, NOAA, I'm not quite sure exactly what those that acronym is for, but they have been making hurricane predictions, and apparently those predictions have not been really on the mark too much. And so they're calling for an end to these hurricane predictions and to some of the direction that the government has taken, especially in the area of global warming. To talk about that today is our guest, Dr. Bonner Cohen. He is a senior fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research and an expert on a lot of different areas. He's written a book called The Green Wave, Environmentalism and Its Consequences, and we want to welcome Dr. Cohen to New Orleans. Dr. Cohen, welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
We're so glad that you could be with us today, and you are an expert on this topic. But let's start out just quickly about the whole issue that your group, the organization, the National Center for Public Policy Research, is, they're questioning these predictions. Here in Louisiana, of course, you know, hurricanes and hurricane predicting is an awfully big deal. In fact, the other issue is, and we can talk about this, is the length of the hurricane season. You know, it just ended November 30th, and of course, we never have hurricanes in November, or even in the early months of the season in June. So, what's the problem with this? And let's see, what is the NOAA?
Oh yeah, that's one of these Washington monstrosities.
Right.
That's the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration.
Right, okay.
Simply NOAA.
Yes.
And every year for the past several decades, NOAA has been issuing hurricane predictions. And it does so in May based on a whole bunch of computer models that people put together. And the track record of those things is actually not very good at all. This year, for instance, they got it spectacularly wrong. NOAA predicted in May that this was going to be an active or extremely active hurricane season, and it forecast that we would have 7 to 11 hurricanes, 3 to 6 of which would be major hurricanes, and 13 to 20 so-called named storms. And what did we wind up with? Well, we wound up with 2 hurricanes, neither of which was a major hurricane, and we did wind up with 13 named storms. I think it's important for our listeners to understand that all of this is based on computer models. These are assumptions that many of which are frankly quite dubious. They're fed into computer models, and you're making predictions about what Mother Nature is going to be doing months in advance. Computer models have a place in hurricanes, and we've all seen it every time one of these things forms, whether it's in the Gulf of Mexico, the Caribbean, or the Atlantic. You can actually see that there's a storm out there, and then you try to track where the thing is going to go. Is it going to hit land, or is it going to be torn apart by prevailing winds, or what have you? But I think there's a huge element of futility bordering on hubris, actually, when the government tells you months in advance what it has determined will be the kind of hurricanes, the Atlantic hurricane season we're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at their track record, it's extremely poor, even though really accurate, we've really just had weather satellites since 1966. So if you think about that, there were all sorts of hurricanes and tropical storms in years prior to 1966 that we didn't even know about because they either didn't hit land or they weren't anywhere near shipping lanes. So when someone tells you, someone promoting the idea of man-made global warming, now renamed climate change, we're having more storms now than we had 50 or 60 years ago, that's comparing apples with oranges because we didn't have the data then that we have now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we saw the thing, if we felt it, if it hit us, if it blindsided us with a huge hurricane, fine, we knew about it. If a huge hurricane formed in the Atlantic, was then blown apart by prevailing winds and wasn't anywhere near shipping lanes and never made landfall, nobody knew anything about it. Doesn't mean it wasn't there. It just means we didn't know anything about it. The government, of course, goes to extraordinary lengths not to tell you this. And this is why I think we should all be very skeptical about what an agency like NOAA, which is not free from political influence,
mm-hmm.
which passes out a huge amount of climate change research grants
mm-hmm.
To carefully selected recipients who can be counted upon to provide forecast in line with the prevailing wisdom on man-made global warming. So it's a racket, to be honest with you. It's a rigged game from the very start. Anybody who thinks that government grants on climate change
right.
are based on merit is living on Mars, because that's just not how it's done here in Washington. And so these are the kinds of things that we should guard against.
So you're thinking that, okay, let me ask you this question. Do you think that there's any value in realistic hurricane predictions? Let's just say that if they were accurate, or if it was possible to be accurate. Do you think it is possible to be accurate?
I don't really think it's possible to be
okay.
accurate. When you're making a prediction in May based upon computer models that you crunched in March and April, and you're predicting what's going to happen as far away as November, no, I really don't.
Right.
One exception I would make to that is when we are in the midst of an El Nino.
Uh-huh.
These that we have, you in New Orleans know all about that, because this is something we get about every 5 to 7 years when we know that we're going to have very strong prevailing westerly winds right around the latitude where New Orleans is located. Those winds tend to break up hurricanes that form. So when we have a strong El Nino and NOAA comes out, and if its models are remotely accurate, and predicts, no, we're not going to have a big hurricane season this year, thanks to El Nino, well, yes, we can rely on that. But absent an El Nino, it is very, very difficult to make accurate predictions. And frankly, I think taxpayer money would be much better spent simply monitoring hurricanes and tropical storms and tropical depressions as they form, and then try to predict based on observations, not calculations, on where the storm is going to go and whether
mm-hmm.
it's going to pose a threat to land or to shipping lanes.
Right. And what do you think, okay, first, is there a benefit to, as residents of hurricane-prone states, Gulf Coast states, et cetera, what is the benefit of these predictions? In other words, if they could possibly be accurate, how would that help? Or I just don't even see the benefit of those
predictions. I think there isn't one. I think the only benefits that come are from predictions once the storms have actually formed.
Exactly.
And we have some idea of which track they're going to take. And how many times have we seen this on television? Well, if you live between Jacksonville, Florida, and Virginia Beach, Virginia, there's a reasonable chance that the thing is going to land somewhere in there.
Sure.
Okay, that's where people who live in coastal areas should pay attention. But that's when you're dealing with a storm that really exists.
Sure.
As opposed to simply hypothetical stuff, which is really what NOAA engages in every spring. So,
right.
As I said, I personally think it's a waste of taxpayers' money.
Okay. Now, what about the length of the hurricane season going from June through November? Do you think there's any benefit in making
the hurricane? I think there probably is. Every now and then, we do get hurricanes that form as early as June. They tend not to be these hurricanes mm-hmm. that form over in the eastern Atlantic, and then that just come across in the so-called Cape Verde season.
Mm-hmm.
They form late in the summer. But sometimes we do get hurricanes that form in the Caribbean and even in the Gulf as early as June. They're
mm-hmm.
rare, but they really happen.
Right.
And they also sometimes can hit as late as early to mid-November. Probably
mm-hmm.
the end of November is a stretch, but they got to cut it off somewhere.
Right.
But we have actually had, although they're few and far between, but we have had very severe storms hit mostly the mid-Atlantic and northeast as late as November. What happens is the storms form late. They then ride the Gulf Stream, which, of course, the water there is very warm, so it keeps the hurricanes going. And they can hit the mid-Atlantic or the northeast or even the southeast as late as October or November. So the length of the season in and of itself isn't the problem. The problem is trying to predict what is going to happen months in advance when we really have, with rare exception, no idea what the prevailing weather conditions are going to be.
Okay. Now, remember this, maybe you remember this, and this goes to the possibility, and I use that word loosely, that a government agency, a bureaucracy within the United States government could possibly have a political agenda. And this goes back to last year. Remember when a hurricane was threatening Florida and the Republicans were getting ready to have their convention there. And it seemed like there was a vast and gross overstatement of the potential for a hurricane to hit Florida at that time. And a lot of people were conjecturing that it could possibly have been some kind of political maneuvering or posturing that was overstating the potential for that hurricane. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. In fact, I remember commentaries at the time from climate alarmists who said, the Republicans are getting their just desserts because they're going to be hit with a hurricane in Tampa. And the Republicans, for the most part, are climate deniers.
Right.
In the view of climate alarmists, so they're
right.
getting their comeuppance. Well,
right.
It turns out that the hurricane didn't amount to much.
Exactly.
If anything, in fact, after a while, it wasn't even a hurricane. It was nothing but some wind and rain, and that was that. You also saw the same thing in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy, the storm that hit New York and New Jersey. In October of last year. It was a very severe storm, and afterwards we were told, this was completely unprecedented, it had never happened before. Well, yes, it had happened before. It happened a lot of times before.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the 19th century alone, 1815, 1823, 1869, and 1893, very severe storms hit New York City and Long Island. Indeed, the deadliest storm that ever hit that part of the country since records had been kept was in 1938. It was known as the Long Island Express. It killed over 600 people. There was no way to predict storms back then. In fact, the conventional wisdom was that it couldn't happen. Never mind that we had known it happened before. It hit Long Island, then slammed into Rhode Island in Massachusetts, and went all the way up into Quebec. So the people afterwards, trying to score political points, claiming that nothing like this had ever happened before, weren't even familiar, and this includes Governor Cuomo and Mayor Bloomberg and other luminaries around there, all posturing on global warming, now we labeled climate change, and saying this had never happened before. Oh, yes, it had to.
Mm-hmm. So you talk a little bit about, you mentioned a little bit about, and we've been saying this, about the possibility that the NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, that they have bought into the whole idea of climate change and, well, at least of man-caused and man-made right. climate change. Comment on that a little bit and what you think is going on there. Do you really believe that this federal agency has bought into this politically charged and controversial topic?
Oh, absolutely. Now, that doesn't mean everyone who works there
right.
Has anything to do with it. But the people calling the shots do. Most certainly the Obama administration has to place staff with political appointees. And those political appointees are drawn from environmental groups, the usual suspects, Natural Resources Defense Council, Environmental Defense Fund, Sierra Club. Mm-hmm. You'll go down the whole list of them. We know exactly how they see the world and what they want to do. And what they want to do once they are at the helm of an agency, one which has a certain scientific reputation, it just appears to have at least the patina of scientific integrity, and one which also passes out lots of grants to eager recipients at universities and in environmental groups and elsewhere, all to study the quote-unquote effects of climate change. So, the grant-making process has been disastrously politicized for decades, going all the way back at least until the 1990s and beforehand. Once global warming and climate change became politically fashionable for people who have targeted fossil fuels as the quote-unquote cause of man-made global warming, then, of course, what you need is a tremendous amount of scientific research to back that up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know exactly whom to go to,
right.
Who will give you the results that you want in the first place. And believe me, if you don't produce those results, if
right.
you don't give them what they want,
right,
the chances
right.
of getting a follow-on grant are zero.
Right.
So you see this at NOAA, you see it at EPA, you see it at the Department of Energy, and you see it at every federal agency, Department of Interior, every federal agency, which has grants to pass out. And, of course, the recipients of those grants know exactly how to phrase their grant request. And they know that once they get the first grant, and they say, yes, yes, indeed, there is compelling evidence or growing evidence or however they wish to word it, that the burning of fossil fuels is contributing to a potentially dangerous warming of the climate, then bingo. And by the way, more research is needed, which means they need another grant. Then bingo, they're on the list of favored recipients. And anyone who questions all of that can forget about getting federal funding because it won't happen.
Right. So do you think that the National Center for Public Policy Research is calling on the NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, to stop making these predictions about hurricanes because they generally are inaccurate? Do you see this happening? Do you
no,
see
I don't.
That?
No, no, yeah. they're not going to listen to us.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
No, but I do think it's important for the public to realize
what
game is being played here. And the proponents of climate alarmism use exactly that, alarmism, to get their way. They want to scare you to death. They want to stampede you into doing things that you otherwise wouldn't do. And they want to impose regulations on everything that you do, from driving your car to heating your home in winter to cooling it in summer, to any other activity that involves energy, and practically all activities that we undertake in our relatively sophisticated society, at least sophisticated from a technical standpoint, is going to require energy. And if you can get control of energy and you can administer that control of energy from Washington, you are a very powerful person.
Right.
But it becomes absolutely imperative to that end that you demonize fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what we have been seeing for the 25 years or so that the whole topic of global warming became politically fashionable. In fact, I would argue that the whole thing really has nothing to do with the climate in the first place. That's the old Saul Alinsky thing, you know, the issue is not the issue. you come up with something. It sounds reasonably coherent, at least at first glance. You get people interested in something that nobody really talked about much beforehand, climate change, and that we need to take action to stop it. Well, in doing so, you're simply imposing regulations. You're putting power in the hands of unelected and unaccountable bureaucrats. You are restricting people's access to energy and other natural resources, and you're allowing Washington to call the shots in just about every activity we undertake.
Right. So it's a matter of control, not so much of real energy or conservation.
Oh, exactly. It's all about control. It's all about power, who has it and who doesn't have it.
All right. One final question from one of our listeners, and the question is, what does the term global warming pause refer to?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, contrary to all the predictions that have been made by climate models and by climate alarmists, that the burning of fossil fuels and the emission of greenhouse gases would lead to a warming of the climate, we have noticed since over the past 16, coming on now 17 years, absolutely no zero warming. And that is completely contrary to the theory. The theory says that these are heat-trapping gases, and the more of these gases we put up in the air, the more heat that's going to be trapped down here on Earth, and the more temperatures will rise. Well, then how then do you explain that there has been no warming whatsoever the past 16 or 17 years? In fact, there's been a slight cooling, and that ice, for instance, in Antarctica is expanding at a very fast pace. So that's exactly what the listener is referring to. There is a pause. The administration can't explain it. The UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, can't explain it. No one can. It's completely contrary to the theory.
Right.
But ultimately, we should base decisions on observation.
Right.
Climate, and not theories.
Right. So not on conclusions in search of evidence, in other
That's
words.
That's exactly right.
Got it. Well, Dr. Cohen, thank you so much for all that great information. And you know, I think it's really important that our listeners and ourselves, me included, that we think about these things. And when whether it's a government agency or a radical organization distributing information, that we investigate, we take it with a grain of salt, and we look behind what they're saying there. And I think this is important information. Of course, we love the project for the National Center for Public Policy Research and all of the great experts that are on staff there. And we thank you for your time, sir.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, sir. All right, that is Dr. Bonner Cohen, and he has written several books about environmentalism and all these different green projects, green energy. In fact, yeah, you know, when we were talking about Black Friday last week, I think it was, Mr. Board Operator, was it you saying that we should give it another name or something different? Maybe it was the other Mr. Board Operator, Luke Skywalker. But we were talking about what could we call it other than Black Friday? And, you know, because, well, we said that Black Friday refers to, you know, the day that the people, the stores, the retailers get into the black. They get, you know, their profit and loss statement goes from red to black because of all the spending. And someone was saying, well, maybe we could call it Green Friday. But no, we can't call it Green Friday because that green has always already been appropriated by the green energy people. And so I guess we couldn't even use that. But anyway, that was a great conversation and kind of interesting, especially here in New Orleans and on the Gulf Coast, when those hurricane predictions, you know, they say, oh, there's going to be all of these terrible hurricane predictions, and you know it's going to be a big active hurricane season, and people get all upset when really these predictions have not been as accurate as they would like you to think. I'll put a link to the article that they posted so that you can read that later at afano.org.
Speaking of Black Friday, did you get anything on Cyber Monday for yourself?
Let's see. I did not go out on Black Friday. I only went to the grocery store.
Well, I know.
Yes.
But that's your thing is your Cyber Monday.
And I did not
buy
a thing yesterday.
Didn't buy a thing.
Let me think about that. I don't think I spent a cent yesterday on anything at any
place. Nothing online.
Oh, wait. I did go to my favorite place of entertainment / shopping, and that's Sam's Club.
No, but that's not
Yeah, I went to Sam's Club, yeah.
No, I'm talking about Cyber Monday, where you buy things online.
Nah, I didn't buy anything online yesterday. I just refrained from the keyboard. I had to like tear my hands off of the keyboard to keep from actually buying something there. But I didn't, and just took the young producer to Sam's yesterday, and we had a good shopping experience at a brick and mortar store.
And today, it's not over because today is
Cyber Week is still on.
But today is Groupon Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Groupon.
Oh, today is also if you're a senior citizen, you can go to Walgreens and get 15% off anything in the store there. Yeah. So, I wanted to do that today, but I ran out of time with all that back and forth to Baton Rouge. All right, then. Well, that was a great conversation with Dr. Cohen, and we'll continue. If you have a question or a comment about anything we talked about, 504-527-0800. When we come back, we have some other things we want to share with you, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Iran is not the only one going nuclear. So is Harry Reid. Hello, I'm Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council in Washington. In 2005, then-minority leader Harry Reid took to the floor of the U.S. Senate and said it would be un-American if the Republicans were to use the nuclear option and change Senate rules, stopping Democrats from filibustering President Bush's judicial nominees. Well, put Harry Reid in the un-American column. The now-majority leader pushed the nuclear option button, effectively silencing the Senate minority and all but guaranteeing the president's nominees will be confirmed. Trust me, Senate Republicans have rarely displayed political courage, stopping only a handful of nominees, nominees that ideologically would have been to the left of Hugo Chavez. The president is now free to pack the courts with ideologues that will both advance and protect his socialist policies. There is a reason that God gave specific guidance in the selection of judges. Few things will ruin a society quicker than unqualified activist judges. For more, go to TonyPerkins.com.
Thousands of people are doing it every day. It's like an audio treasure hunt. People scanning the radio dial looking for a new station, a favorite song, some new kind of programming. But mostly they don't know what they're looking for. Just something fresh, something entertaining, something real. The search ends here.
You're locked into Sunshine 800 WSHO.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to The Current Word here on WSHO in New Orleans, Louisiana. Our number 504-527-0800. And we've been talking about a couple of different things today. We just recently just concluded a conversation about global warming, man-made climate change, and the political agenda of the apparent political agenda of even national agencies that are basically designed to protect American citizens and to keep us posted on what's going on in the real world with respect to hurricanes, et cetera. And it seems like they may have a little bit more of an objective of promoting the concept of man-made global warming, and that's not a good thing. We're going to go to the phone lines in just a minute. I wanted to mention this to you. This is good news reported by our friends at the Louisiana Family Forum in their newsletter today, and that is this. A while back, after the Supreme Court case, which said that the Federal Defense of Marriage Act was unconstitutional. The two men living here in Louisiana, John Robichaux and Derek Pinton, who were quote-unquote married in Iowa last year, they came to Louisiana and they filed a federal lawsuit that requested was hoping that the federal judge would require that the state of Louisiana recognize their marriage here in Louisiana. In other words, now where they live. They left Louisiana, went and got married, okay, in quotes, in Iowa, and then came back to Louisiana and were trying to demand that Louisiana recognize that faux marriage, not that not marriage. And so anyway, the great news is that on November 27th, the federal court of Judge Martin Feldman, the U.S. District Judge here in the Fifth Circuit, here in Louisiana, threw the lawsuit out, and that they had a lot of reasons, and you know, a lot of it was like legalese, but it doesn't matter. The fact is that they were challenging the constitutionality of Louisiana's ban on same-sex marriage, and that challenge was thrown out. Now, that doesn't mean that nobody else will try and come up with some other reason. But for now, good news is that our state constitutional amendment is still intact and has not survived.
What was the other part of the decision where they were going to rule on Proposition A? What did they say about that in that same ruling?
Oh yeah, they said okay. Like they didn't. They said that. They didn't make a decision in this Proposition 8 of California case, so they just basically left it up to the court there in California. But so they didn't really get involved in.
And last court decision ruled against it.
Right. Yeah. So, but as far as the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, that is what was the big problem. And I read the other day, you know, several governors. What's been happening is on military bases. They have been, the question is now whether or not the National Guard, like the Louisiana National Guard or Texas National Guard, whether they will be granting benefits to same-sex, quote-unquote, spouses, as other states have, after the Federal Defense of Marriage Act was declared unconstitutional. And Governor Jindal is one of, like, only two governors that is still refusing to recognize same-sex marriages of military employees here that are stationed here in Louisiana. So good for him, and I hope he stays strong on that. All right, let's see. We're running out of time, but let's go to our friend Jim. Jim, welcome to the Curran's Word.
Yes, do you copy?
Yes, go ahead.
Listen, Kathleen, I have a very important question for you.
Yes.
If I order breakfast and I get bacon and I order it extra crispy, thin and crispy, does that mean I'm participating in cannibalism? Or, you know, after all, bacon is from hogs, right? And I mean, will that involve a form of cannibalism?
In one state, I forget what state it is, but it's here in the United States of America. They are trying to get personhood for chimps.
Oh yeah,
yes, yes.
That's what I was. Yes. You stole my thunder. That's what.
Yeah.
I saw the blimp this morning on a crawl. I think it was Good Morning America. That I don't know if it wasn't PETA, but it was one of the groups trying to get human rights for chimps. So I mean, you know, don't you think this whole thing, the global warming, the human rights for chimps, the pigs and the chimps, all this stuff, it's all involved, it's all intermingled with this evolutionary, quote, you know, godless, you know, it's all intermingled. It's not, that's the way I see it. It's all involved in, you know, glorifying man and you know, squeezing God out of the picture.
Right,
it's,
it is.
You know, because it's, you know, giving rights, human rights to pigs or chimps. And the Bible clearly says that it was man that was created in the image of God, not some monkey or some pig.
Right,
you know?
And God gave man dominion over the creation.
Yeah, right.
Right, and of course that doesn't anyway give anyone you know, any kind of authority or right to be cruel or to abuse the creation. But,
right.
You know, people, this is my common sense approach to the whole issue. And that is that it is very narcissistic for human beings to believe that we have control over this planet. God is in control of when this planet will be destroyed, and only God. And again, as Christians, we should have stewardship for the creation. But not what they're talking about.
And I think it was Dr. Bonner or Mr. Bonner, the gentleman you just had.
Uh-huh, Dr. Bonner.
He was talking about observation.
Yes.
And that goes with all of this stuff, not weather, chimps come from chimps, pigs come from pigs, elephants don't produce giraffes, which don't produce alligators, which don't produce birds. It's observation, and God is, like you said many times in Romans 1 and other places, things in this world are clearly seen. It's a lot more going on than just, quote, science,
Right.
It's man's, man's trying to surpass God or trying to get God out of the picture.
Amen. That's exactly
right. You're absolutely right.
Right.
Well, by the way, today is very Black Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, somebody on our board said, and I guess you're referring to this, someone wrote, probably someone from even perhaps outside the area or even outside the country, what happened with your saints down there?
Oh, no, please, yes. Please don't. Please, I'm still in mourning. Please don't,
The person wanted to know what happened, and I will say this, to figure out what happened is definitely above my pay grade.
Kathleen, listen, I mean, I've been accused of whining and complaining some. Listen, I was listening to some of the radio today, and Kathleen, you ain't heard nothing yet. You've heard the complaining, and they're still going at it,
Right.
It's ridiculous. It's over a stupid ball game. It's sports.
It's crazy.
It's okay, but that's all it is.
Right.
But that's it. Well, God bless you, okay?
All right, thank you so much. All right, then, so we're just about out of time. We hope that you found the show informative today. I thought the information from Dr. Bonner was interesting. And, we hope you'll stay tuned and be with us again tomorrow for another day in which we expose the darkness and shine the light of truth.